I woke up with a fear this morning, but I can taste you on the tip of my tongue. Alarm without no warning.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Open Language. This is Tara.
And this is Connor.
And today's lesson is an advanced one, and it is the part two of the book reading option B.
Yeah, option B. So we saw this before. It's about Sheryl Sandberg, the Facebook COO, and she went through a really difficult time when her husband died, and then she wrote a book about it and about coming back into joy and being able to deal with tragedy.
Right. Very motivational.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and, yes, for sure.
And really helps people, I think, to get over their own obstacles in life.
Yeah, and especially in the workplace, I think, for her was the big thing. So today we have five tips for you about dealing with, you know, tragedy or hardships in your life. And these are directly from her experience. So why don't we take a look?
Perfect.
Number one, personalization, pervasiveness, and permanence. Children and adults recover more quickly when they realize that hardships aren't entirely their fault, don't affect every aspect of their lives, and won't follow them forever. Number two, kick the elephant out of the room. Don't let yourself become isolated. Speaking about traumatic events improves mental and physical health. Number three, self-confidence and self-compassion. Don't let grief stunt your recovery, but use little victories to forge ahead. Number four, contribute. Gratitude is passive, but contributions are active. They build our confidence by reminding us that we can make a difference. Every day, jot down three things that you do well. You'll wish you'd started doing it sooner. Number five, pay attention to joy. Rather than waiting until we're happy, we should go and do the things that make us happy. As you use these tips to cope with your loss, ease back into doing things you love to do.
Okay, so great tips. Super helpful.
Yeah.
And let's take a look at the first one.
Yeah, we've got the three P's here.
Yeah.
Personalization, pervasiveness, and permanence.
Ooh, one of my favorite words is pervasiveness.
Oh.
Just fun to say.
Yeah, pervasiveness. You got to practice this one.
Yes.
Even I have to. Pervasiveness.
So personalization, let's just quickly touch on that. Making things relevant to you.
Yeah.
Personalizing things.
Yeah, exactly. A person, making it a part of you, basically.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, pervasiveness, what is that?
Yeah, it's something that is felt in all areas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not just in one place.
Right.
Right?
It's many different experiences. So right now, because of the forest fires.
Oh, yeah.
There's smoke that's pervasive everywhere.
Yeah.
Meaning it's covering everything. Mm-hmm. It's gray. It's horrible.
Yeah. I don't know. It's the worst. I've never seen smoke. The wildfires are so bad in BC this year.
So it's very pervasive.
Mm-hmm.
Other things that can be pervasive are corruption.
Yes. In a government, when people are lying and corrupt in the government, that can be a pervasive problem.
Yeah. And often it's kind of negative. It's usually used in a negative connotation.
For sure, yeah.
Another word we'd use is rampant.
Oh, yeah, it's rampant.
Which is a fun one.
Yeah.
Meaning it's widespread. It's just very, very common.
Uh-huh, for sure. And then the last P, the third P, is permanence.
Mm-hmm. So you've probably seen the word permanent.
Right, yeah. This is just the noun form of permanent. Lasting forever.
Long-lasting,
right?
Not changing, continuing.
Mm-hmm. So these three P's are actually bad things.
Mm-hmm.
You want to avoid them.
Yeah.
The first one, personalization, you can see in the next sentence. Children and adults recover more quickly when they realize that hardships aren't entirely their fault. In this case, that just means you're thinking it's your fault.
Right. So divorce, for example, a lot of children, I've never experienced it either as a child or as an adult.
Yeah.
But I've seen many of my friends have gotten divorced.
Oh, okay.
And often the children blame themselves.
Right.
They weren't good enough or things like that. Yeah. So you can't take it personally.
For sure. Yeah, yeah, very good. Don't personalize it. It's not your fault.
Right.
And then the next one, pervasiveness, you can see this one is don't affect every aspect of their lives.
Right. Mm-hmm. So that it's not, you don't want it to be pervasive.
Yes.
You don't want it to kind of creep into yeah. your work environment,
yeah.
your home, your social life, that kind of thing.
Yeah. And then the last part in number one, and won't follow them forever. So forever, of course, is permanent.
Yeah, permanence, exactly.
Right. It's not permanent. You can get through it.
So what do you do?
Yeah,
how do you
well,
deal with those three things?
Yeah. So the one of the big things that she talked about in her book is kick the elephant out of the room.
Right. So we've actually talked about this,
yeah.
this in a few lessons
mm-hmm.
recently.
Yeah, we have.
You know, when the elephant in the room is the topic that nobody wants to talk about,
yeah.
but everybody knows.
Yeah, everybody knows about it, but everyone avoids talking about it. Like if an elephant was actually in the room, everybody can see it. But when we say this,
you pretend it's not
yeah,
there.
Yeah, you pretend it's not there. So don't do this, she says. Don't do this. Don't let yourself become isolated.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So you basically want to make sure you're continuing to interact with
yeah.
people. You don't want to be alone.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Isolation mm-hmm. is not good for you. So isolation is the noun.
Yeah, 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 yeah. And one example, if you live away from a city in a little tiny house in mm-hmm. the forest, you are very isolated and it's lonely.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And mm-hmm. you don't have to even, it's not necessarily a physical thing.
Right, right.
It can be a psychological mm-hmm. thing.
Oh, so yeah, for sure, yeah.
If you're an introverted person,
yeah, yeah.
I know I am,
mm-hmm.
and
oh,
often
okay.
I prefer to have quiet time at home.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, I love that
intentionally
too.
Yeah. isolate myself.
Yeah. Oh,
so.
Okay. So this could be a problem if you're trying to get through hardships.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be isolated. Speak about these traumatic events.
Right.
And that's the next sentence there. Traumatic.
Right. Trauma is the noun.
Yeah. Yeah.
This, you can have physical or you can have psychological or emotional.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
A trauma is something bad that causes a negative reaction.
Yeah. And yeah, you can highlight that they're really bad.
Really
yeah.
bad. Like mm-hmm. There's an expression called PTSD.
Okay, yeah, yeah, right, right.
Which
yeah.
anyone who's in the military mm-hmm. or law enforcement, mm-hmm. It's called post-traumatic stress disorder.
Mm-hmm.
So it causes psychological problems because
yeah.
you've seen so many bad things.
Right, yeah.
So yeah, trauma, a car accident can be a trauma psychologically and physically.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
You can have... you know, injuries,
mm-hmm,
serious
yeah.
injuries,
yeah.
and you will also have nightmares.
Yeah, yeah,
right?
For
if
sure.
you've ever been in a car accident, you know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm, yeah, they are very traumatic.
Yeah, yeah, and you can't keep those things quiet, and you can't internalize them.
Yeah, yeah,
you have
sure.
to let them out.
Yeah, yeah, so that exactly, that speaks to don't let yourself be isolated.
Yeah.
Another one is part three here. It's self-confidence and self-compassion. So what this one is about, basically, when you feel like you can't go on, that mm-hmm. you're not going to succeed, don't worry. You need to have some self-confidence that you can get through this.
You are strong enough.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
you have to believe that. And I love this term, self-compassion.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's also another one is self-care.
Mm, yeah, self-care, right, yeah.
So compassion is just kindness
mm-hmm.
to something or someone else. And
yeah.
self-compassion means you have to be kind to yourself.
Yeah, yeah. Like when your friend is sad, you say, oh, are you okay? Oh, you know, if your friend breaks up with girlfriend or boyfriend, like, oh, it'll be okay. You give compassion.
Mm-hmm.
You're compassionate. Give that to yourself, too.
Right.
Don't be so hard on yourself, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Very often, people will beat themselves up.
Yeah, they beat themselves
so
up. Yeah.
Not physically punching
right, right, right.
themselves.
Right, yeah, no, yeah. yeah.
But just they're too hard on themselves.
Yeah, they're judging too harshly.
Yeah,
yeah.
like you hold yourself to a different standard or higher
mm-hmm.
standard.
Yeah.
And you expect, I'm tougher than this. I need to suck it up. I shouldn't be crying.
Right, yeah.
No.
Yeah, yeah.
You can cry.
Yeah, you
it's
can
all
cry.
Cool.
It's okay to cry, yeah.
Yes.
So with that, the next sentence here, don't let your grief stunt your recovery. So that's what this is all about.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, we have this grief, this
right.
idea of grief. Yeah.
You know, most often you use it when someone passes away.
Yeah, yeah.
You're grieving which is the verb to grieve.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just extreme sadness and depression and and loss, a sense of loss.
Yeah, you feel like you lost something. And it usually goes on for a long time.
Yeah.
Or it could be a long
time. It could be.
Yeah, yeah.
If someone passes away, if a relationship ends, you still can experience grief because something has died, technically.
Yes,
the relationship has died.
Mm-hmm. So if I lost my pencil, would I be
not
grieving?
So much.
No.
Well, it depends.
Yeah.
I love my stationery.
Sure, okay, okay, yeah.
But I don't, I still don't know if I'd be grieving over it. I'd be really mad or upset, but
so it's generally for things of humongous.
Humongous.
Wow.
That's a good
heard
word.
That one for a long time. huge. Importance and value.
Yeah, right, totally. Yeah. And where you've invested a lot of emotion into it.
Yeah, for sure.
So you love someone, you love a relationship, that there's a lot of feeling involved.
Mm-hmm,
so this is the opposite what you'd feel when you lose that.
Right. And so you feel grief and you're trying to recover, but you shouldn't let this grief stunt your recovery. So that's this next word here, stunt. It just means like block or keep from stop
from growing
and progressing and developing. Yeah, yeah.
Right. So different context. Okay, I'm only 5'3". I can't remember how many centimeters that is, but it's not very tall.
It's not short though.
And it's not. It's average.
Average. Yeah, average.
But people would always tell me I started drinking coffee when I was maybe about 14.
Okay.
And people said I shouldn't because the caffeine would stunt my growth.
Right. People always say, caffeine in coffee stunts your growth. You won't be tall.
Right. It blocks you from growing. So here it's just saying don't let that overwhelming sadness stop you from doing other things or block you from doing from recovering, essentially.
Right. Yeah. And instead use little victories to forge ahead.
Right.
So the context here was basically Sandberg in the story, she couldn't do something and she wanted to give up.
Mm-hmm.
But and this she's talking about when she was young.
Yeah.
And so her mother said, just do one at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Just do it step by step. Baby steps. And those are the little victories.
Right. Mm-hmm. And now to forge ahead. Mm-hmm. This is a great expression.
Yeah.
And it's basically meaning pushing through that difficulty.
Yeah, yeah.
Not giving up.
Right, exactly. You're forging ahead. Yeah, it's always, like you said, it's always difficult. It's not easy, but you keep going forward.
You're moving forward, totally.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you think about traffic even, it could be, I'm forging ahead despite the traffic jam.
Yeah.
Slowly but surely, I'm moving forward.
Yeah, like in a project, a company's a team project at work. You're forging ahead even though it's really hard.
Right. Or in a meeting.
Sure.
Sometimes it will come up and it'll be like, okay, we got to move on.
Yeah.
Let's forge ahead.
Let's forge ahead.
Meaning
let's
push and keep moving forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And actually related to these little victories is number four, contribute.
Right. Mm-hmm. So you need to give. And you know, gratitude is something that a lot of people, you know, it's just being thankful for something.
If you get a gift from somebody, even if you don't like it, you should show some gratitude. Are you thankful?
Right. And you can actually use it kind of sarcastically to someone. If you give someone something and they don't thank you, you can say, show a little gratitude.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Or your parents may have said that to you when you want all this stuff for them and they've given you so much.
Right. Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So what she's saying here is, for example, we're lucky to have so many things that we have. That's gratitude. Oh, I'm happy that I have that. But that's passive.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that is active is contributing.
It's the giving.
Yes, giving.
Now, you said contributing.
I did say contributing.
I would say contributing.
Yeah.
Both are fine.
Oh, yes.
They're
okay.
Both technically fine.
Normally, I would say contributing, but it just came out wrong.
That's okay.
Yeah,
it's all good.
Yeah.
But both are technically fine. Just different stresses.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
But there's an expression we have that summarizes this perfectly.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Actions speak louder than words.
Right, right, for sure.
So you can say thank you.
Mm-hmm.
That's great.
Yeah.
It's important.
Yeah.
But you need to show that you're thankful.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well. for sure. Yeah.
And you need to do something to show that. That's exactly what it's saying here.
Yeah. And by showing what you do well, you will actually see that and it will remind yourself that you can do things well.
Right. And that you're trying to make the world a better place or trying to do good things, and you're capable of doing good things.
So what she recommends is every day jot down three things that you do well, and that will give you confidence that you can get through this.
Right. So jot down is make quick notes.
Yeah. Write something very quickly.
Yeah.
If you're listening to a meeting, you should be jotting down some notes.
Yeah. And a lot of people will have a gratitude journal as well.
Yeah.
So they'll write things that they're thankful for.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is taking it a step further.
And it's
also saying things I can do well.
Right. Yes.
So kind of positive affirmations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the last point we have here is pay attention to joy. And this is actually is really important.
It seems easy, but it's not.
Right. Sandberg, when she was so sad, she was just waiting for a time to be happy. She was waiting for the happiness to come back. And what she learned was, don't wait for the happiness to come. Go and do things that make you happy.
Right. And that will help you basically cope with your loss.
Yes, exactly. Right.
So coping is to kind of survive and struggle with and deal with something difficult.
Yeah, cope. Yeah. So you can cope with, of course, a problem.
A health issue.
Yeah. Something that you have to deal with it. Yeah. You don't have a choice.
Right.
You can't solve it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But there's ways to manage it.
Right. Managing some stress or managing some difficult situation. Mm-hmm. How are you coping managing it?
Right. And then I love this. You ease back into doing things that you love to do. Now, this links back to self-compassion.
Right. Yeah.
So easing into something is doing it slowly, gently.
Yeah. Think of the word ease. It looks like easy.
Yeah.
You're not doing it hard. You're doing it softly, slowly, carefully.
Right. Yeah. So if, for example, you've taken stress leave from work, you don't want to go back working, 60 hours a week.
Right. Yeah.
Right away, because that's what got you into that situation.
Yeah, for sure.
So you need to ease your way back and kind of cope as you go, as opposed to just bam, it's all in your face.
Right. Or if you're learning something new, don't jump headfirst into it. Ease into it.
Right. And show yourself some compassion.
Right. Exactly.
Be kind to yourself.
Yeah. So, wow, these are some really great tips here. Why don't we listen to it one more time?
Awesome.
Number one. Personalization, pervasiveness, and permanence. Children and adults recover more quickly when they realize that hardships aren't entirely their fault, don't affect every aspect of their lives, and won't follow them forever. Number two, kick the elephant out of the room. Don't let yourself become isolated. Speaking about traumatic events improves mental and physical health. Number three, self-confidence and self-compassion. Don't let grief stunt your recovery, but use little victories to forge ahead. Number four, contribute. Gratitude is passive, but contributions are active. They build our confidence by reminding us that we can make a difference. Every day, jot down three things that you do well. You'll wish you'd started doing it sooner. Number five, pay attention to joy. Rather than waiting until we're happy, we should go and do the things that make us happy. As you use these tips to cope with your loss, ease back into doing things you love to do.
Okay, so we just heard those five tips again.
Yeah.
And, I would say most of us, if not all of us, have dealt with grief in some capacity.
Yeah.
Whether it's losing a relationship, a job, a person. I know there's been a lot of situations in my life that I can relate to this.
Yeah.
So I found this just immensely helpful.
Yeah, for sure. And I know this is really changing the environment in workplaces right now, especially at Facebook where she works. They're giving more freedom to people who are grieving in their workplace and giving them, helping them to get through the tragedy.
Basically supporting their staff.
Yeah, for sure.
You support your staff, they're happy, they're more productive.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the compassionate thing to do.
For sure.
Kind.
So, You know, if you have any tips, other tips like this that helped you get through a tragedy or a hardship.
Or trauma.
Yeah, or trauma. Yeah, please let us know in the comments.
Yeah, and you know, if you've seen situations or if you're in a workplace that has these kind of policies in a workplace that maybe doesn't have these policies, you know, what are the consequences? What are the results of that?
Sure. So we look forward to seeing your comments and talk to you later.
Take care. And now we're way up, dancing on the roof.